Hey, this is Rob Ansbach, and welcome back to another edition of E-Heroes for those keeping count. This is episode 384. My next guest hasn't been with us since episode 161, so about 4.5 years ago. And we're going to talk about his new book, Spiritual Bitch Slap. Now, that sounds kind of provocative, but honestly, some of you people out there do need a little high five to the face with a chair. Yeah. So I'm going to bring on my great friend, John Lovgren, and we're going to talk about his awesome new book. So, John, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Rob. It's a pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
You know, your book is this wake-up call to a lot of not just entrepreneurs, but people in general. I think they just kind of go about life, you know, with their eyes shut sometimes. And yours is that book that people need to read to realize they have more potential than what they're showing.
Yeah, that's pretty much why I wrote it, a lot of it, because we're on automatic pilot. Mm-hmm. And we're in survival mode, you could say, right? And it's time to wake up. I don't know how to do that. So now I do. So I started working on this book and just realized that, you know what? I'm sorry if it offends anybody to the title of Spiritual Bitch Slap, but everybody seems to know what that is.
Yeah.
And it's not gender specific. It's not against anybody or anything, right? It's just, hey, this is spirit trying to get you to wake up and pay attention.
Yeah. And a lot of people, I think,
seem fine all the time.
Since COVID, everybody's been in this, I'm not going to say coma, but
almost.
They don't want to put forth an effort. And they go about their day kind of like in a trance. And it's crazy to me because, you know, I deal with entrepreneurs all day long. And it just seems like they've been beaten down. They've given up, and they have no purpose in life anymore. You know, I've noticed since, you know, I'm not going to try to blame COVID for everything, but since COVID, a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs have just given up. They say, why bother? And for me, it's if I can get out of bed every day, I'm going to make some magic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to make things happen. But that's not the mentality that some people have anymore.
No. And I think, too, a lot of them are it's a fear factor that's in there, right? That fear of failure and sometimes fear of success even for some.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I always say that the spiritual bitch slap forces us to dig in deep within ourselves. And I always say that's the hardest thing we ever do is to go within, but it's also the most rewarding when we do it.
Yeah. You know, what prompted you to write a book called Spiritual Bitch Slap? Because, you know, I know a lot of people are very withdrawn a little bit when it comes to titles.
Yeah.
I try to use ones that I know would rank well on SEO or people are going to just like the colors, the titles. But, you know, for me, it's like, would I use that word?
Yeah, I went back and forth with it. I've been ruminating on this book for a couple of years. And originally I thought it was going to be called Get Pono. Mm-hmm. Because that's essentially what it's about. You know, when we get Pono meaning right or righteous or at one with everyone and everything. Then when we get Pono, get right with ourselves, it's easy to be right with the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then just in a meditation one day, it just came up to me and spiritual bitch slap. That's what it is. Because I wasn't listening to my intuition and I should have turned right. and I didn't. And I went the other way and I was like, there's my slap. Why didn't you follow your intuition?
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that and I hang out at the Kava Bar here most days, and talk story with people, share kava and life stories, etc. And I mentioned it to somebody, and I thought it was a very common term, but it turns out not so much.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I want this title to wake people. I want to get your attention, you know, because this is serious stuff. This will change your life. Can. I mean, you got to do the work, but the background is there. And so that's what it came to. And then through my own experiences, I've just kind of counted on, you know, what were the hard points in my life? What were the hard questions I had to answer for myself? And started putting them out there and putting them in the book. And yeah, it's really going well. I do a book club once a week where we meet. And I also made tarot style cards. Wow. With each of the reflections and prompts in it. So we start the meeting, everybody picks a card, and then we go around and everybody takes a minute or two and just kind of says, what does that card mean to them in that moment? And then we just take turns reading a chapter. And after the chapter, there's all the five prompts, of course. And then we just set a timer for 15 minutes and everybody writes in their journal. And then afterwards, we share what our experience was like. Some people read what they wrote. Others just talk about how it felt to go through that. And I got to say, it's been pretty, what do I want to call it? Heartwarming, really, to see the some of the changes in the people and some of the awarenesses that they have just in a short time. And yeah, it's getting really good response in that respect.
Well, I like those cards, because when someone comes into your meeting, they can just pick one. And yeah. It doesn't, you know, normally people gravitate to something that they, you know, have familiarity with. So they're going to, you know, some people will always reach out to that specific card. Well, if you randomize them, they're forced to pick up something and think on a different level.
Yep.
And it gets their creative juices flowing.
Yeah.
And it does wake them up. It makes them see within themselves. And you know, for the listeners out there, it's not woo-woo. You know, getting slapped upside your head metaphysically does, you know, help, you know, your soul figure out stuff. And I think that people confuse the things. They confuse woo-woo and spirituality and so people don't do stuff,
right?
And you know, there's always a solution. Sometimes you do have to look within.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the answers are. If you're, you know, like it also stems from Ho'oponopono, right? The magic words 5 years ago. And I know a lot of people have read it and use it, not so much, but it's one of those things where that's too simple, it can't work,
right?
And you know, if you get into the neuroscience, neuroplasticity, yada yada, affirmations don't work either unless you use them consistently for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with Ho'oponopono. The more you say I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, the more it starts to take hold. And so at the end of each chapter, there's a couple of meditations that actually show how to use Ho'oponopono for those examples. You know, I love you. I'm sorry I carried along fine for so long. Please forgive me for doing so. Thank you for the lessons I learned from it, etc. And so when it's kind of combining the two of them. And like I say, I'm just seeing some really good results. And it went out in, I think, early October. It went live on Amazon. So it's pretty amazing. I think I've reordered author copies 4 times at 25. Wow. I've given away 100 books on the island.
Mm-hmm.
Or sold, you know, use them in the bookshop, whatever.
Oh, for the audience, John is in Hawaii. And so if you ever get yourself over there, visit him.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're just not writing this book from, you know, a singular point of view. You have studied different religious perspectives and different customs and cultures. And so, you know, this book is that culmination of all that learning.
Yeah. essentially. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's I'm a believer in, you know, I would not ask somebody to do something I won't do. Mm-hmm. And so it's largely based on my own experience, good, bad, and otherwise, however you want to look at that. And I've had lots of slaps. I actually, now that I think about it, one of my most recent slaps was deciding to work with you, right? I'm out there scrambling, trying to figure out how to get this book out there, and hired some local talent to do, they were social media experts, and it wasn't really going anywhere. And then I'm driving down the road one day, and I realized in talking to somebody, dude, you spent $27,000 in advertising on Magic Words, and you're way upside down. So maybe you go listen to what somebody, you in the field, knows what's going on, and put your money elsewhere. So I was like, oh, wow, wake up.
Yeah, you know,
here we are.
You know, marketing a book isn't easy. Marketing, you know, in general, it's not always easy.
No.
And I try to make it as easy as possible for my clients to understand the mechanics of marketing. And, yeah. You know, it's, for me, it's always been the human touch. It's always been, you know, what can I deliver to make you feel, you know, we've all heard know, like, and trust. But I've added a fourth component, feel safe. Because, yes. You know, it just, people need to have that feel good, warm and fuzzy feeling when they hire somebody. And, you know, it's not always possible when you see all these flashy marketing messages that counteract all that feelings that you should be feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It just kind of puts a mask over them, you could say.
Right. And so, you know, from your perspective, you're trying to market this book that will help so many people, and you don't want to put it in the wrong hands.
No.
So, you know, I'm looking at it from the outsource coming in and saying, okay, John, this is, you know, what I believe you stand for. These are your core values. So we have to match that up to the others that want that type of information. Yep. So it's like, hey, I know you have this brilliant book, but delivering it to somebody who refuses to read?
Yeah.
Not going to help them.
No. So,
you know,
it's also one of those books where you don't read it once and then put it on the shelf and ends up in a garage sale for 10 cents
right
later on. It's somebody told me, he's like, dude, I like this because I keep it on my coffee table. Mm-hmm. Somebody else said they keep it on their kitchen counter and they get home from work, right? They had an incident happen during the day and they just grab the book and they say, it's kind of like the Bible. Wherever I open it, it's appropriate. And I get an answer and I get some help, and it's helping in that way.
And, you know, when you read the book, it's not, the information that you're getting is not sugarcoated, you know? And so I think it means more to people nowadays. They want to cut to the chase. They want the information, but they also want direction.
Right.
And your book is filled with these gentle affirmations, and so it guides you in the right direction.
Yeah, I like I said, I hang out, some would say too much, at the Kava Bar, but there's a lot of people that come and go, of course, and part of it too is I hear a lot of victim. There's a lot of people stuck in the victim mode.
Yeah.
And they can't take responsibility for their part in whatever's going on. And so that was another reason. It's like, dude, how do we be real? How do we just be who we are?
Not me.
Yeah. yeah. How do we just be me unapologetically? And it took me, well, you know, 60 some years to figure it out, right? And the big part of it is, the biggest thing I see is, what will other people think? That's our biggest blocker,
yeah.
I think. And so when we can get to the point where what other people think of me is none of my business, then we're pretty much free. That's freedom. Mm-hmm. Because we can go do what we want, be what we want. And you know, the four agreements play very heavily into it. Don't take it personally. Mm-hmm. Don't make assumptions, etc. And then that's where I think we start to find happy. We become happy with ourselves. I ask people a lot, you know, are you happy? Well, yeah. No, really, are you happy? Well, I would be. I could be.
I would be.
I'm like, okay, so how do we change that? How do we fix that? And I believe the book can help do that, right?
You know, last year, when I came back from France, I wrote my book, my legacy book. You know, and a lot of people confuse money, leaving money to the next generation as legacy. For me, it's always been about knowledge. What can I pass on to the next generation? And when I look at what you've done, you know, it's not always about even knowledge. It's about happiness. You want your readers to reflect on their life. What have you done? What can be improved? Are you happy? And I like how, you know, in this book, there's reflection prompts that gets them to wake up, that gets them to answer those questions that they haven't answered for years. You know, I'm just looking at one right now. It says, where in my life am I still being adored for a version of me that is not real? And you know, I think some of the celebrities are like that.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm this great person. You haven't been a celebrity for years, but you still want people to elevate you to that status. You are human. You know, people treat you as a human, but you want them to treat you better. This is why you're not happy.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So it's I like the book because it brings you back to earth. You know, gets you out of that big-headedness that you've erected for yourself, and it brings you back into an area that you can say, well, I can make this adjustment and I'm going to be better. Or I can still be a dick and nobody's, you know, not going to like me.
Yeah, so what?
Yeah, so, you know, but it's, I think one of the things as an entrepreneur, though, too, is reviews. People get so caught up in the negative. You know, I get reviews from my books. I get reviews from my service. And people are like, oh, someone gave me a negative review. And that bothers you. Why?
Yeah.
Really? You know, we don't know their internal thinking. We don't know if they're jealous. We don't know if they're angry. We don't know if they are actually a customer. But they're mad at something. We can't control that. But you want to harp over one negative review versus the 100 positive ones. I don't get it.
Yeah. I'd be more like, oh, thanks for the review, bro.
Yeah. You help the algorithm. You know, and I think as we progress as humans, and we have to come to a realization that, you know, there's a better way to do things. There's a better way of thinking. I think if everybody who's ever been triggered by something reads this book, they won't be triggered by anything because they'll learn how to control their emotions.
Right.
They'll learn how to be happier.
And that's when some people ask me to sign the book sometimes, and I always say, learn to love the slap. Right. Because it's like, I want to be grateful. I'm grateful when those triggers come. Yeah. In the moment, they might suck and be embarrassing or hurt or whatever you want to go, wherever you want to go with it. But it's showing me something in myself that wants to be healed that I didn't know was there. And so now I know how to heal it. Mm-hmm. I just can't heal it if I don't know it's there. So that's, you know, hopefully it helps to do that. And I think that's why it's going to work out well in the longevity side, right? Because we can continue to use it as a reference book more than a read once and see you later. Bye.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I laugh at, because you have on your website, every Wednesday, people can meet you at the Kava Bowl. And it says contributions appreciated. And it says avocados, papayas, gemstones. Welcome. It's like, wow, you know, it's, you know, most of us, we publish a book. We want it to get out there in the right hands. We want people to read it and appreciate it and give us these warm and fuzzy appreciations. And here you're just like, look, just come on down. I'm going to teach you something. You know, you want to bring your fruit and your gemstones. That's great.
Yeah. Cash is not king.
Especially in Hawaii.
Right. And I don't want anybody to not be able to participate because of the lack of funds.
Yeah.
You know, and in this day and age, especially, like you said, in Hawaii, the rents are ridiculous.
Yeah.
True everywhere, I'm sure, but the prices are escalating all over the place. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm fine. I got a roof over my head, food in my belly, clothes on my back, and time to write books and play. And so I'm not chasing that dollar as hard. I got enough. And then I always say there's enough, and there's never enough.
Right.
Right.
You know, and it would be nice if, you know, even if you're not in Hawaii, even if you're not, you know, maybe into the Kava Bowl scene, maybe somebody can just donate some money to you to help give out more books.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that, yes, don't have the money. Yes. You know, and I know from all my works of art, my books, you know, people were like, well, Rob, great, you have one book. I'll give you $15 or $20, whatever it is. 60 books later, they're like, Rob, you took all my money. I can't buy any more books. You know, I get it. I get it. I really do. I enjoy writing. I enjoy sharing my knowledge with other people. And I will definitely, you know, give you a book if money is a financial hardship for you.
Yeah.
It's just the way we are. You know, we value people learning.
Absolutely.
You know. But this book is also an extension of the website. The website, as you started off saying, you know, it's GetPono, getpono.com. You know, and this is your evolution into helping other people. I mean, your first book was Magic Words, right?
Yep.
And so this book is just, you know, an evolution of that book. You know, it helps people to see a better lifestyle, to have a better way of thinking.
And it helps learn to, like I said earlier, magic words is tough. I mean, Ho'oponopono, the four phrases, it's hard to remember on it. But the book, The Spiritual Bitch Slap, helps us understand how we can apply that better.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts, you know, with neuroplasticity. Once it becomes a practice, or I would say make it a lifestyle, then you really see the changes start happening in your life. And they're going to happen, but let's do it consciously.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it happen on purpose the way we would like to see him go, instead of just tossing it up and hoping for the best.
Yeah. But, you know, besides the books, you know, you also will instruct people one-on-one.
Yeah.
And do that via Zoom, or do they have to come to Hawaii?
No, they don't have to come to Hawaii. I am working on working towards some retreats, you know, some 4 or 5 day retreats, but no, Zoom, phone call is fine too. I just had one the other day. Somebody contacted me through the website and wanted to talk story. So we just set up a time and had a phone call. Yeah. And I do, everything's by contribution. I'm huge pay it forward. That's my legacy, I guess. I don't know what you call it. But
It is. It's. And I think that the people forget that pay it forward doesn't mean go cheap. It's not like he's doing this for $3, $4, you know, pocket change. you know, you do want to, you know, create a lifestyle that you can, you know, at least pay your bills. And I'm not saying, hey, everybody, you know, that wants to contribute, give John $1,000, but you know, there has to be something of substance, something of value traded.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. If I know that someone deep down doesn't have any money, sure, you know, the call's free.
Yeah.
Just how I am. But, you know, if the information that I give you is going to change your life, it should be worth something.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times I'll give the book away and people say, oh, I want to pay this. Like, no, let's pay it forward. You take the book. If you like it, go buy one for a friend on Amazon and give it to them, you know, and just keep the ball rolling that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard somebody the other day say something about, I paid it forward. I wonder when it's coming back. I was like, bro, you didn't pay it forward.
Yeah.
Pay it forward has no, you have to have no expectations.
No, I think
that's about it.
I think that's where the world went wrong.
Yeah.
You know, we everything seems to be reciprocation.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that way.
You know, I did this for you. What are you going to do for me?
Yeah. It's, and you know, I used to be in one of these big trade groups where, you know, we would trade services. And it became such a pain in the rear end because everybody demanded something. And I'm like, why don't I just do this? And if it comes back, it comes back. Rob, that's not how it works.
Yeah, I got involved in the bartering system thing back in the, well, I really don't want to say when, the 70s, I think it was, late 70s, early 80s. And same kind of thing, right? They had a whatever intrinsic value on whatever they were offering, and they would argue back and forth about, well, I'm not getting the same back. I'm like, you kind of defeat the purpose of it.
Yeah. And then some of these trade services, they put a price, a membership fee that you have to pay every month. And I'm like, so not only do I got to pay this fee, I'm giving away stuff and hope that one day it's going to.
Yeah. So I got to pay you to give my stuff away.
Yeah. Hey, just keep it simple. So, Let's talk about your book club. You know, if people come to Hawaii and they meet you at Kava Bowl, and you know, besides just friendship and spirituality, what can they expect?
Well, you can expect real. I mean, everybody there is, you know, that's talk story. I forget that's not a common term everywhere, but our lives are our story.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about, when we want to say talk story, we're sharing our life experiences with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the Kava Bar or around the Kava Bowl, Kava kind of promotes that, right? Where you just share your stuff and everybody's be real and we share each other's experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very relaxed. And then the book club is just like I said on Wednesdays, and that's just whoever comes up, we circle around in chairs, close the doors. We start with we got some ground rules to go through, you know, what you hear here, leave it here, who you see here, etc. And do my best to always create a safe space to be able to express.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens quite a bit, actually. Sometimes there's tears, there's oftentimes a lot of laughter, and I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. And you know, not a lot of, and I'm not going to say it's a book club, but it is a safe space to be able to share your stories.
Yeah.
You don't see that a lot.
No.
You know, yeah, maybe if I went to a 12-step program, it's going to be safe, you know, safe. But, you know, this, I think it goes beyond, you know, that type of philosophy. This puts the power back in the people.
Exactly. And I, you know, I just called it book club because I wasn't sure what else to call it. I mean, typically book clubs read a book and talk about it and then move on to another book. So it's probably more appropriate to call it a book study.
Yeah.
Might be a better name for it.
And you focus on one book.
Focus on the one. Yeah. And then we've been through the whole book one time. So tomorrow we're going to start back on chapter one, and I give everybody a new book And then I think it's going to be interesting how we've already written in the journal, right, for the chapters. So, but I'm pretty sure that when we write in chapter one tomorrow, it's going to be different than the one we did 9 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, and it may be like, okay, I don't need to answer this. I already did.
Mm-hmm.
So, yay, that part of me is healed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just the more we can go within, I think the more real we can become and the more honest and, you know, stop taking everything so personally. And if somebody hurts my feelings, I got to remember that they're just being them.
Yeah. You know,
my feelings are hurt. There's something within me that I need to look at. So thank you for pointing that out again.
You know, in my younger years, I took things personally.
Sure.
You know, someone would call me a name and I'm like, ugh. You know, and I'm clenching my fists and ready to fight them. And I'm like, what does this solve? Really? I mean, why am I getting involved in their anger? It just doesn't. And so I had to start, you know, just letting it go. And one of my biggest therapies, actually, was answering calls from scammers.
I remember those.
You know, they would irritate the heck out of me. You know, I'd be slamming the phone down. My blood pressure's boiling. I'm what a freaking scammer. And I thought, why don't I just flip the script and just, you know, bait them along. Keep them on the phone as long as I could. And the more I did that, the more these stories would become funny.
Yeah.
And I started writing about them. And I had a whole series of books then called Rob Versus. And people loved them.
Yeah,
so I took my anger and turned it into something profitable.
yeah.
and I think if more people learn to do that, not only would the world be a better place, but we're sharing how we're spinning that negative into something that's useful.
Yeah, I think we're energy transformers, you could say, right? When we wake up, we take the negative stuff and we turn it into positive and give it back out.
Yeah.
But the more we do that, right, the more you stay in gratitude, the more you have to be grateful for. So
you know, on your book is available on Amazon and paperback and Kindle. You know, what else can they buy directly from you?
Not just yet, but that's coming soon. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they can buy those also, cards that you showed.
What?
And they can eventually
those are probably going to be out. This was a test print, and I'm working on that. They're probably going to be, I would guess, into February before they're ready to come out.
Nice.
But yeah, they'll be available on the website, and I'll probably put together, I'm going to put together package deals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cards and the spiritual bitch slap, or maybe it's cards and both books for whatever the price comes out to be.
Yeah, a combo pack, because people are going to learn so much, and they can create their own book clubs around, you know, their areas, talking about your book and helping people.
Yeah, that would be, I would love to see that happen.
You know, I could see that.
Just because of what I'm seeing in here.
Spiritual bitch slap centers all over America.
Yeah.
You know, but it is, it's part of your legacy. It's part of what you want to teach the future generation.
Yeah, that is. And I, you know, you said something about that earlier about money. People want to leave money to the, I bet you're going to say the same thing, but I can't tell you how many people, parents pass on and the inheritance comes in and now it's a huge fucking shit show.
Oh, it is. And the thing is that when you look at the wealth transfer going back even 100 years, within the second generation, the money's gone.
Oh yeah.
And it's because they didn't know how to, they didn't earn it. So they don't know how to manage it. And so they spend it and it's gone.
Well, and worse than that is the fighting over it.
Mm-hmm.
And siblings that love each other all of a sudden aren't speaking to each other for 20, 30 years.
I'll
leave this out there and you guys can talk about it. That's more valuable than any money I could leave.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody that's watching, please go and buy John's book on Amazon. I would buy the print copy, because Kindle is great if you're going to be traveling, but you can't write in it. You can't make notes.
Yeah.
You know, with a physical copy, you can write in it. It's all your thoughts are right there. You know, and buy a couple copies. You know, keep one, give to your friends, start a club.
Start the book club, book study. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and, or, you know, buy the combo packets when they're available on John's site, getpono.com. And, you know, just remember that, you know, your life can be better than what it is. But sometimes you do need that spiritual bitch slap to wake you up. So,
yeah. We would call it a course correction.
Yeah. Any last words of wisdom that you want to impart?
Oh, I don't know about wisdom, but I would like to say that on getpono.com, just anybody, my contact information is there. Send me an email. I answer all of them. And I'm open to phone calls. If you have questions, comments, want a little guidance in your own book club, then just reach out and I'll be happy to help you out however I can.
You know, this is what makes you an e-hero, John. And, you know, it's not just about the book, but it's about your, you know, giving nature. You know, if you could do everything for free, you would. But yeah, there has to be there. And I tell people, look, there has to be some skin in the game. There has to be some value transfer. He's giving you his knowledge. Pay the man. I'm just saying, you know. So
I take avocados.
For everyone else, please go buy the book, visit his website, contact him, and we'll see you guys on the next episode. Adios.
Thank you, Rob.